Page Monitor.
ABM Mobile.
We're JBM KO4 HKX.
For HKX, go ahead.
Patrick on this end, how are you this morning?
Pretty good, how are you?
Good. What brings you out this early?
Same thing bringing you out, headed down to Georgia.
So you've been listening a little while.
I heard you and Chad as I was getting in the bed last night.
What was your name?
Jerry.
Did I get that right? Are you saying Gary or Harry? It's breaking up on this end just a little bit.
Juliet, Echo, Romeo, Yankee.
Jerry, okay, got you that time. Sorry about that. I'm just now crossing the state line, and it's a little scratchy until I do. Where are you coming from?
Campobello.
Oh, now I know who I'm talking to. I recognize the voice now.
Thought you would after a minute.
A little scratchy right there for a little bit. Until I cross the state line, I'm just coming out of the black hole.
It doesn't help that I'm right here at the airport either.
The GSP?
Roger, I'm right here on 80, about 2 miles from it.
How you been? You been doing all right this past week?
Pretty good. Had my head stuck in the dial. I'm kind of hooked on HF at the moment.
This hobby can be addictive in many different ways, can it not?
It can. I'm running on DMR as well.
Told me that it was just a solder joint on the board that was the problem.
Well, if that's what he told you, he left a little bit out. It was actually, they didn't solder the entire right side of the board.
Tell me how much, he just said it was solder joints on something, some board.
Yeah, Roger. There was absolutely none on the output side for the MFDVM hat.
Do it. DMR so far.
Except for every time that I switch from my home network to my mobile hotspot, I'm having to restart it. I do not know why. I can't figure it out.
Sure on that one. Hey, are you restarting the hotspot or the radio?
I'm having to restart the hotspot. It'll pull off through the IP address, give me all the controls and everything, but it will not go to green until I restart the hotspot.
Richard had that same problem, and I'm not sure if once it's fired up, it keeps looking for that IP address, and then you have to shut it down to get it to come up on the other one, because it won't look automatically, if I remember right.
And that's what I'm thinking, because I've actually got two static IP addresses. One that is connected with my home network, and one connected with my hotspot.
Time I take mine out, it's disconnected until I get away from the house. And then I power it back up again, so I don't worry about that. I don't know how any other way around it.
Pretty much got to be second nature. It don't take me but a second to shut it down and fire it back up, so.
Okay, it's your JCA here.
Richard, KO4HK.
Morning, Richard. November 3, Juliet, Bravo, Mike.
Good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Jerry. Jerry, it will. It's a hot spot. Even though it might show you have it in the system, when it changes or switches IP address, it's not like our router or stuff like that, smart devices that will follow it. You have to basically power it down. So when you put it up in your car, you just have to repower it up under the new internet connection that you're doing. That's why a lot of times I just connect my hotspot to my phone directly in the house. I'll disconnect the power down, connect it to the phone, and then walk out with the phone and the hotspot together. Could put it in the car.
Roger.
You hit rain yet, but it just started pouring over here where I live in my neighborhood there, which is up probably about 5 miles from the airport.
Off and on my whole trip so far. But like Keith was saying, I was looking at the weather. It's just supposed to be overcast down there today, and they're not calling for any rain, and it's at around lunchtime. It's supposed to start clearing up completely.
Watch WYFF4, and it's supposed to start raining around 3 or 4 o'clock from right where Atlanta is back over this way.
It'll be what it's going to be.
The weatherman's right once in a while, right?
I tell you, I'm sure not made of sugar. I'm not going to melt.
How far this repeater will carry it?
All the way down to, I believe Shane said, exit 147 or 149 into Georgia.
That's not bad.
He corrected it to 149 down there near Converse, and he said he'd be hilltopping it.
Because about the time I hit there, I'll hit my D-Star repeaters.
I'll tell you this much, you're outrunning me in this hobby. I haven't got D-Star figured out yet.
Like DMR, it's all in the settings and programming.
Gave up on it.
Okay. At the moment, but the Gainesville repeater, 146.670 with a 131.8 tone. That'll take you from the Georgia line all the way to Atlanta. That's a good repeater, too.
You getting close to back to the building?
Into the dock. I'm going to drop this one and go fuel and then punch out and go home. I'll be back on the radio when I head back home.
Thank KO4HGX. You going down looking for anything specific today?
Sure. It depends on what catches my eye. I mean, I'm borrowing a HF rig that Chad's loaning me right now. I've got one on order, but I'm honestly getting tired of waiting, so it depends on what I see if I cancel my order or not.
That I completely understand. But at least you got a radio you're using right now and getting to use it, so that's good for Chad doing it.
Yeah, I'm very grateful, but I am going to say I'm addicted to HF, and with an inverted V, never thought I could reach Canada.
I've just run a little inverted V where I'm at, too, so, and it does okay. To the north of me, I don't get much to the south of me because I'm right against that mountain. But once I get 80 meters, I'll bounce over it, but not much else.
Running an 80-meter dipole and tuning it for the other bands.
Are you using
the FT-840?
Much of that. I don't know much about that one. I know which one it is, but I don't know anything about it.
You told me it was simple to use. I thought I'd have a learning curve, but it was simple and it's very effective.
Matters.
Sure. 2 days I've made 27 contacts, and the farthest I've went so far was Montreal, Canada.
I haven't been on HF much. I've done a little bit, but not a whole lot. The DX and just making a contact, I don't know, it just never really appealed to me.
POTA, and that's what really got me looking into the DX and the contacts and all.
Looked into it yet, so maybe that'll help, but I have to give it a try. But I just, like I said, I haven't caught that bug, let's put it that way.
First night, when I first got the antenna up and everything else, I almost gave it up then, because 40 meters and 80 meters was nothing but grumpy old men who pretty much told me to kick rocks.
I know what you mean there. And you throw out one of these new calls, and they don't even want to talk to you.
We have a vanity they didn't know it to start with, and then one of them looked me up and
they pretty much told me to get off the frequency that even though it was within my band plan, that they don't talk to anybody that's not an extra.
Move up to the extra.
Exactly.
Let them deter you. I hate that there's people out there that way, but it seems like there's more and more of them.
Deter me, but it's sad, but things like that is what will deter some people from continuing with the hobby.
I don't know. And then they wonder why the hobby's dying on certain things. Richard, you still in there?
She's just looking at the APRS map. I was trying to see if you had your APRS on. I think Jerry has his on.
I do not have mine on at the moment. I'm not in my tool truck, and the ID5100 doesn't have APRS.
APRS quit working after I left your house the other night, Richard, and it stopped on 14, and it says I've been there ever since.
Showing you for the last 3 hours that you came from Campobello down to 385, down to the, near the Roper Mountain Science Center.
Then I guess it is up and running right now because I'm dead on 385 at 85.
The beacon rate is probably every 10 or 30 minutes, because it's showing like you're driving cross country. Into an updated thing, I did find those part numbers from the wireman.
I seen I got a text, but I hadn't read it.
Yeah, the first one I just was the reminder, and then when I found the actual part numbers on the wireman page, I texted them to you.
Keep my eye out for him. If he's got them, I'll pick them up.
Well, $12, the other one's $11. That's considering the internet prices are still right, but, you know, a few dollars here or there is not going to make a difference.
Like I said, I don't mind picking them up.
Shop the other day, all the prices were the same as what they were online.
Jerry, thank you. God, I had a question I was going to ask you. Oh, I know. Yeah, I remember now. Did you have any extra pies that you were willing to sell? Because I would love to put together a hotspot for a friend of mine in Florida. He's elderly, and I know he can't afford it right now, and so forth like that. I wanted to throw together just a quick pie and a hotspot. I was going to program one of my TYT380s to send to him.
What I've got when I get back, I'm having an issue out of the one I'm working with right now because it's a generic Pi and it's not wanting to take the software.
About the Pi software for the that's from PiStar in the UK, the one that you download and flash the memory card?
Roger.
I have problems. When you get back, let me know and I can take a look at it for you. So I had some issues the first time I did it, but since I've figured that part out, I actually have 8 SD cards that I've actually pre-flashed in case the lightning hits my or the static hits my SD card. I've already had one card crash.
I'll let you know, and if I'm still having issues come Monday after physical therapy, if you'll be around, I'll swing that one down there and let you take a look at it.
And if you get a chance, remind Chad that I'm here to drop off the radio. If I was going up earlier, I'd probably swing by his house, but Sally Swite's not going to be arriving until 9:30, so I'll probably leave here like 8 o'clock just to get up there in time. I don't want to go too early. Can just sit around. KA3JC in the group.
Oh, yeah, Bravo Mike. Roger. Flying back in tonight?
Yep, she's flying in. I think her plane leaves at 4:55, almost 5 o'clock in Colorado. It arrives here like at 9:36.
Colorado, she in?
She's out there in Denver.
Oh, okay. I spent a lot of time out in Denver when I was stationed at Fort Carson.
Yeah, she had a the child that she was a special ed intervener for the school district here, and she worked with the child for a little over 4 years, and they were kind of like a dead end running into a brick wall with the Greenville County school system. So the parents up had moved to Colorado, and they asked that Sally fly out for a week to kind of give them an assessment of the child, kind of like based on what she worked with him and how he's doing now, so they could kind of establish a baseline, because apparently the school district wouldn't or didn't or couldn't provide data out of the state or something. I don't know what's going on with the school district, but so needless to say, so she went out there to take care of that. KA3JCA.
I know that you're glad that she'll be home.
Just to get the house cleaned up.
Over here thinking about Richard having to clean the house up today. Trying to get ready for Miss Sally to coming back. Just imagine what she's going to say to you.
Well, Patrick, she'll take my other leg.
Is it? At least she's still there coming home. Let's put it that way.
He said, you sure you don't want to stay another week? And she's like, no, she's ready to go home.
So, funny story. Chad the other week, I didn't realize that Miss Anna was a teacher.
The principal now, she got a promotion. I understood right out now. Don't hold me to that.
Because when we were up at the American Legion the other night, that's what got me to thinking about it, is when she was sitting over there talking, the voice kept sounding familiar and familiar. The next day, I went over to talk to Chad about some stuff, and I just asked him, was she a teacher at Holly Springs at one point? And he said, yes. It just so happened she was one of my teachers.
Could be in trouble now.
Office. I don't know if he's told her yet or not. I don't think she realizes who I am yet.
Trying to forget, Jerry.
Wait. If you go to the principal's office.
More than half of my days anyways. I outgrew that rebellious stage, though.
While you're young, but once you grow up, it just, I don't know, you need to get out of it and be an adult.
When I turned 16 and I actually voluntarily left public school and went to military school, I just couldn't handle the no structure, no discipline.
Do it with a lot of things going on in this world today, let's put it that way.
Nowadays, don't know whether to wash their clothes or eat the Tide Pod.
Hit the snorting condoms.
Heard about that one, that they're doing that to get high?
Haven't heard about that one, and we might only keep that one off the air from the sound of it.
Say, look it up sometime. There's a chemical in there that they're using as an actual illicit drug.
Check that out. My wife, she works for the school system up here, and she hadn't said anything about it, so it might be something new for them to keep an eye out for.
That we'd have never thought of as kids. I mean, where do they even get the ideas? Media is the vein of our existence.
It doesn't matter what you put in there to go look for, that stuff is going to come up. Because I have an account that I used for work. But I just deleted it because you can't get anything but garbage.
Something relevant to anything that you actually search nowadays, you gotta go through 3 or 4 pages of garbage.
That is, a lot of companies spend so much money on people that do SEO, search engine optimization. I know I used to have to put a lot of work and effort in to help a friend with their hotel to keep it like at the top of the list when people would do searches.
Google as a search engine, because I search something and it's four or five pages back before I get to what I'm looking for.
What do you use it?
Well, I use Google, but I've tried Bing, I've tried DuckDuckGo, I've tried several of them and really haven't had any better luck with any of them.
Yeah, Bravo Mike.
For HKX.
You got the 5100 as well, correct?
Correct.
Have you updated your automatic repeater list lately?
No, I haven't. I need to do that.
Down here today, I'm going to talk to the ICOM guys because you can't do it.
I've not done mine since I got my radio, but I tried a couple times, and yeah, I run into a roadblock, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, when you go to search and put everything in, it's telling you that there's an error in downloading from the D-Star website.
I mean, just like my Kenwood, the Sky Command's disabled on it after a certain serial number, come to find out after I bought it, and that's one of the reasons I bought the radio is I wanted to use that.
Sure, I don't know anything about that one.
That one, I can set my radio. Kenwood built their radios to talk directly with each other and control each other. From my HT, I could talk back to my 2-meter radio, and then it will talk to the HF radio. I could do HF over my HT as long as I could hit my radios.
But yours, it's not enabled on, or?
Saying, and they took it out, or they didn't take it out because it's still there, but they disabled it after a certain serial number is what I've been reading, but I haven't been able to find out anything specific on it.
Something in the settings that you've got to go to a back door and re-enable it.
Just kind of one of those I gave up on after hitting the wall so much.
Certain radios, even though they're still in production, they're not really coming out with the updates or servicing the radios.
I'm finding the same things. And I don't know. I really like my Kenwood radio. I mean, it's easy to use for the most part. And so I've really enjoyed the radio.
What radio is that, Patrick? Which one is it?
Kenwood, TMD710GA.
Okay. Also, the filters we're having issues with?
Yeah, but I don't think it's the filters, Richard.
Yeah, I don't think it is either.
It has gotten really bad on it. It just comes and goes. Still trying to figure it out, but I just don't think it's the filters because, like I said, it comes and goes, and it depends on if I'm moving. Like I said, I just can't see it being a filter, but I mean, that could be
a weak capacitor in there.
Sure. Right now, it's not doing it, or it wasn't last week, so we'll see.
Or when it's warmer rather than when it's colder outside, it may be a weak capacitor.
See, I hadn't paid any attention to that one, so I have to look and see on that.
Because those capacitors and filters work hand in hand.
NGA has a known issue with one of the filters on it and the circuit board, the way that Kenwood made it. That's why everybody's thinking it's the filter. Right now, is because of the known issue they have for that.
Here?
Yeah, I was actually looking up something about the 710 and turning on the Sky Command. Apparently, it has to be on a specific channel, 144.750, or an aux channel, UHF 438.500, and you have to turn it on and then program it.
Where it was at, where I read that they disabled it after a certain serial number.
Remember me telling you about that Kenwood that I bought from the guy?
Just briefly, go ahead.
It came in the other day, and he scammed me good. Coming out of Missouri, and he put a Missouri return label on it, but it was stamped that it came out of Florida, and apparently it went to the hurricane. When I opened the shell of that radio up, it still had water on the circuit board.
Do is put his call sign out there and let people know what he's doing.
Nothing to review on him. I'm just going to use his spare parts.
Hey, what kind of Kenwood did you try to get?
Just a minute and I'll tell you what it was. C700A.
700A? I've got one of those radios at the house, too.
Is it for the Vera FM that's built in?
Are you saying TMD700? That's a mobile unit, isn't it?
Roger.
I didn't know it had Vera FM in it.
You got the data control module for the Vera inside of it.
Well, I bought one from a Silent Key here in Greenville, and it needs a POC for the volume on it, so I've got to get it fixed. But other than that, it works fine. Yes.
And give you the... Because when you take that control head apart and you take the back, the hold-in nut off of it, those pods actually just slide right into the board. I'll just give it to you.
I haven't even opened it up yet. I just know it's... You start turning it and all of a sudden the radio will go wide open or you can't hear it, one or the other.
I seem to be okay in this one and everything. When I opened it up and found the water in it, I cleaned everything with isopropyl alcohol, trying to displace as much of the moisture as I could and salvage what components I can.
It went through the hurricane, that's salt water too. I mean, that's not good at all.
But I'll bring you that pot if you want it, and you can give it a try. If it works, it works.
If not, I'm going to buy one and just put it in. Just one of those things I hadn't got to yet.
Hey, Patrick.
Patrick.
You could buy, it's an electrical solution. It's a spray almost like WD-40 that we used to use in the shop. I can't remember the name of it, but that works great for cleaning out pots.
It's electrical contact cleaner. We use it in automotive all the time, too.
Get that in there and squirt that up really good.
Like I said, I haven't done anything with it. It's sitting there at the house.
People we have here in the Greenville area that have the capabilities of repairing or servicing equipment that have the proper equipment. The more and more I hear about it all the time, I keep telling myself, God, I ought to buy myself a service monitor again, which is, you know, used to calibrate, transmit, receive, and just check radios out to make sure they're working. I mean, they're about $1,500. I'm tempted to maybe start a small bedroom air-sized business.
Good in this area. I mean, I don't know of anybody right off that does radio repairs. So, I mean, I just have to ask around, I guess.
I can't find anybody who does.
When I worked for a shop back home in Delaware, the guy had probably a 20 by 30 building. Then out the side of it was a garage that we could pull in the vehicles. And he had a big enough door that you could actually pull in like a tractor rig or a full-size camper, like a mobile home type thing, to work on the radios without getting wet or not being in the cold during the wintertime. But his little, I want to say it was like a 10 by 12 or 12 by 12 room that he had shelves on it, little plastic bins with all the parts of all the radios that we served, you know, with resistors, capacitors, surface mount device, you name it. But that would be the biggest issue, just trying to keep that stuff in stock.
And Richard, I'm pulling up to Gary's, so I'm going to say 7-3s for now. Y'all be careful, and I will talk to y'all on down the log. KO4 HKX. I'm clear.
Three Patrick, say hi to Gary. You guys have a nice trip down KA3JZ. Over to you, Jerry.
Fixing to lose you, Richard. I'm hilltopping as it is because I'm in the car, not the truck, and I've only got a quarter wave on here. You're cutting in and out.
That's one thing I don't have. I need to see if I could put the Gainesville repeater in my radio to see if I could hit it from here. So, alrighty. You guys have a fun day over there, and we'll talk to you later this afternoon if you're coming back tonight, KA3JCA.
Roger. If you get bored and you still want to talk, you can hit me on the handheld. I've got it here with the hotspot.
You could have just heard me on the private. Okay, clear.
Juliet Bravo Mike, clear.